Okay, this is the NBFC National Finance Committee meeting for July 29, 2005. This is Dave Adelson. I'm Chair Pro Tem. Casey McFaul is the Secretary. Casey, can you call the roll, please?
Yes. Adelson?
Here.
Allen?
Here.
Fediaco?
Here.
Gatewood?
Here.
Kessley?
Present.
McFaul is here. Robert? Absent.
Tattersall? He believed he asked for an excuse, I think.
Thank you. Tattersall?
Here.
Weinman?
Here.
Williams?
Present.
Hicks?
Here.
And I believe Ambrose Lane is here also?
He's here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. And as Marnie said, Mark Roberts did let us know he would not be able to be here and asked for the absence to be excused. Is there a motion to excuse the absence?
Make a motion.
Okay, any objection? So the absence is excused. Okay, I sent around the...
excuse me, Dave. I believe there's another individual on the meeting, isn't it? Is Roy Campanella online?
Right, right. Now the GMs were invited. I'm here. I'm going to be able to hang in until 4 o'clock.
Great. Welcome, Roy. Yeah, I didn't know that any of the managers were here. So Roy's here. Are any of the other managers present? Eva Georgia, I believe, is in the mountains and out of signal range. Nobody else?
Andrew won't be here. She's on vacation.
Okay. So possibly we'll see Dwayne and or Ron. Okay. So the agenda that I sent around called for us to spend 5 minutes on the approval of minutes. 10 minutes on the election of a permanent chair, and that would just be to hear statements from the candidates, not to hold the election, which is done by mail-in. A review of the May financials and the current budget status. A report from the working group on the immediate financial needs. The review of the May financials and the current budget status would be 40 minutes. Report from the working group on immediate financial needs would be an hour. FY06 budget process and status was 25 minutes. And then Marnie pointed out that we still had director's inspection of the finances from the last meeting, so I'd like to add that as item 7 for 10 minutes. Scheduling of the next meeting for 5 minutes and then adjournment. Is there a motion to approve that agenda before we look at amendments?
Discussion.
Yeah, is there a motion?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Okay.
This is Teresa. I have a question.
Hang on, Lonnie, I think, was first, then you, Teresa.
Okay.
Well, perhaps we need a motion to approve, then we go to discussion.
We had that. Patty moved to approve it.
Ready for discussion?
Yep. You're up.
I have a...
Well, first Lonnie, then Teresa.
Okay, about the agenda.
Yeah.
Now, my suggestion would be to move the report of the working group up toward the top. It's now item 5. So my proposal would be to make it item 4. And also, I think it is a companion to the FY06 budget process, because we're going to be doing that with item 4 anyway, but I think it goes more properly with this. So I'm suggesting making item 5, item 4, and making item 6, item 5.
Okay. Teresa?
I wondered whether, never mind.
Okay, I'll speak. The reason I put the review of the financials and the current budget status before we talked about our immediate financial needs is that, to me, we need to have a solid sense of where we stand financially and to have looked at the existing budgets. We cursorily touched on the May financials, but there remain some other issues, and we don't have, as far as I know, any newer data, so I wanted to get an analysis of the current budget status. The working group dealt with questions of what was going to be raised, but without knowing how it's going to be monitored or what our budget situation is, it seemed to me that discussion would suffer. So I thought we should be on top of the numbers before we talk about how to get more. That's my opinion. But so if I understand Lonnie's, and it's just a different view of things. If there's any further discussion on it, we can discuss it. If not, we can go to a vote.
Hi, this is Patty.
Go ahead.
I think so, too. I think we need to know what we're talking about first and where some things are at before we just go talking about getting more money.
Anybody else care to comment?
Yeah, this is Jane. I know I have some real specific questions in looking at May last time, and perhaps we could just try to be brief and ask for what the current numbers are on specific items that have stood out to Monty. Just ask him.
Can you get closer to your mouthpiece, Jane? It's very hard to hear you. Or bellow.
Is this any better?
Marginally. I think you're naturally soft-spoken.
No, I apologize. It is my phone. No, I just said that I would like to cover some of the actual numbers that Lonnie has available for us, just so that we understand. I'm concurring with your opinion.
Okay. Any further discussion, or shall we go to a vote? Okay, so Lonnie's amendment proposes putting item 4 to item 6, moving it after the working group report on FY06. I'm aware that there are objections. Casey, can you call the roll?
Yeah. Adelson?
No.
Allen?
Yes.
Bediaco?
No.
Gatewood?
No.
Heffley?
No.
Hicks?
Yes.
McFaul is no. Tattersall?
No.
Weinman?
Star 6. And Teresa, if that's your music playing, you might want to use Star 6 to mute.
I'm sorry, I didn't get... Sandy, I didn't get your vote.
He's muted. We have to wait for him to hit Star 6.
Okay, Williams?
No. Hello?
Yeah, we heard.
Got it.
Sandy, do we have you? He must have stepped off.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it's a toggle. It doesn't have a light on the phone.
No,
I voted no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion failed.
Okay. Are there any other amendments to the proposed agenda? Okay, hearing none, are there objections to adopting it? Hearing none, we'll adopt that agenda. The first item is the election of the permanent chair. At the last meeting, I was nominated, as was Marnie. If there are any other nominees, they should be nominated now, and then we can hear from each of us. Okay, no other nominees. Marnie, would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I'm going first. Kind of you to offer.
Don't know who's... Are other people hearing that tone?
Yeah.
Technology. Well, let's see. What can we do about that?
Maybe we each need to mute.
Yeah, well, why doesn't everybody go on mute? And Marnie, why don't you stay off of mute?
Okay. All right,
okay,
it's
gone away. Okay, Marnie, I didn't hear whether you said you'd like to go first.
Sure,
or you'd like,
sure,
yeah.
What the heck.
Go
Let's
ahead.
Get it over with. I'm very honored to have been nominated. I would love to serve, if that's the will of the group. Some of you know my background a little bit, others don't, so for the benefit of those who don't know a lot about my background, I've paid about 30-plus years of dues in the media business, and that's been in finance and strategy. And by media, I mean records, film, and mostly radio. I've been the controller of radio stations in Los Angeles, Hawaii, and currently in San Francisco. This work has been facilitated by a hard-won MBA from Harvard Business School, where my major was finance and controllership and long-term strategy. I enjoy my work, and I also enjoy serving Pacifica via the National Finance Committee and similar roles that I play at the local LSB. I have a strong desire to keep the NFC focused, and I want to try to have us all have a judicious use of our precious time. I have a commitment to move our agenda, to try to help give good notice of meetings. It's important to get the fiscal 06 budget passed and then properly monitored, and to have a commitment to focus the work of the NFC on variance analysis, particularly of the National Office and PRA, but also the other stations, and to find solutions to fundraising difficulties. And that's about it.
Okay. You all know me as well. I don't have experience in finance, but I have about 10 years of experience in and around Pacifica. I'm familiar with a number of the budget issues, but I am not expert in the area of finance. And you've all experienced the way I chair meetings and send out agenda and deal with issues in the conversation. So I don't think I need to say that much more. I, too, am interested in getting to a very much stronger functioning oversight of the financials, and we'll do whatever I can to facilitate that and the passage of the 06 budget. So I don't think I have anything further to say on it. And Casey, can you, as secretary, tell everybody about how you're going to manage the balloting?
Yes, I'll do it the same way we did last time. I'll upload a ballot and email it to you with my address. I will ask each of you to, and there will be instructions included, to mark your ballot, put it in a blank envelope without your name, and then put that envelope in another envelope that you'll address to me. And we need a deadline for receipt of ballots.
Would it be possible for us to set that deadline to be, let's say, a week from Tuesday? A week from this Tuesday, that will give everybody time to get the ballots and send them out. Would that be all right? That would be a week from Tuesday would be, let's see, the 9th of August. Is there any objection to that as the receipt deadline?
No objection.
Okay, hearing none, okay. We'll adopt that. Are there any further questions about the election of chair?
Marnie, if I could just make a quick comment. I don't have an objection to it, but last time we did have you, Dave, observing the counting, and now you're one of the nominees.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with you being there and observing it, but I just want to mention it.
Okay.
One of the things we can do is if nobody has an objection, we can take it to our local committee and have the committee observe. Do you guys want to do that, or I don't care?
I have total confidence in Dave, but just
okay. Also, I won't get the ballots uploaded tonight. I won't do it until tomorrow afternoon. I won't be at a computer till then.
Okay. Any other questions about the election? Okay, then let's move the agenda. The next item is the review of the May financials. I know, Jane, you said you had some points. I have some as well. I will defer to anybody else who has specific questions about them. Actually, before we do that, Lonnie, perhaps you could give us an update on your take on the current financial position and what documents are in the pipe for us to look at.
Well, I did send out an email via Ambrose.
Point of information?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
We didn't approve the minutes.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. You're right. Let's go back to that.
We're not going to approve the minutes because I didn't send them.
Okay. So
I'll send those tomorrow afternoon, too. Sorry.
That was July 15th and July 21st minutes.
Yeah,
so
but I have them all as one meeting. It was a continued meeting.
Okay. So is there a motion to table it until we receive them?
Motion to table, please.
Okay. Any objection? Okay, great. So now back to the review of the May financials and current budget status. You were saying, Lonnie?
Well, maybe an hour ago, hour and a half ago, an update was sent out on, call it the mini June report, came from Ambrose, which does update, gives you a preview of the June financials, which I think somebody asked for, and it also previews how the budgeting process is going in terms of where each station now stands as they struggle with these budgets to balance them for FY06? Okay.
I haven't received that email.
Right,
have
and
other
I didn't
people?
Either, Lonnie. Maybe it got sent to my work, and I'm home today, and SBC Global is the one to use for me, please.
Yeah.
I don't think any... Ambrose, were you able to send
I got them. It came from Ambrose.
Yeah,
it came. It was forwarded.
Okay, I don't...
Maybe I can resend.
Yeah, this is Jane. I can't access my email right now where I am.
Well, I can speak it through.
Please, thanks.
And we'll resend it or whatever.
Ambrose, did you send it to the National Finance List, or did you...
Yes.
No, it was sent...
individual?
To Lonnie and then CC'd to each of us.
Yeah.
Can you forward it to the Yahoo group list, Casey?
I can forward it to finance.
No, because I'm on the freeway.
Mm.
I can forward it to finance, right?
Great, thank you.
Here it comes. And there it goes. So the folks will have a sense of what I'm talking from. Where are we? Oh, we want to talk about where we are now financially before we go to May, or try to meld the two?
I'll yield to what you think is desirable.
Well, the reason I wanted to move it up is because the May financials, and I know some of you have specific questions about May, is not going to be reflective of the network's current financial status. And the reason, of course, as you all know, is that the drive at WBAI did not go as well as they had hoped and was short $400,000. That totally changed the financial outlook for this network. That is a large number to be short. It affected the national office. It affected, the forecast for how this network will look on September 30th when we end our fiscal. It also set into motion here at the Finance Committee the need to establish a working group to look at what our options were in terms of how this network would look. That working group was formed, as you all know, and began its work within a week to start to look at what our options were. The urgency of it was that WBAI and some other stations as well might be looking at cash shortfalls in that period, September to October. Now, that's not unusual. Any station, because this network is a seasonal business, and between that period, June through October, cash is always short. But not by these amounts. It turns out that what makes this year different from other years is that in normal or past years, when one station had a bad drive, other stations were doing fairly well. And that gave us, as a network, some ability to deal with situations at a particular station. What is different this year, as I said in my CFO report, is that cash is extremely short of the network this year. Many, if not most, stations are having difficulties this fiscal, and four of our five stations have dipped into their savings in order to make ends meet in this fiscal. The working group met twice and looked at some of our options, and I won't go over that group's report. I'll wait until we get there and not preview it beforehand. But let me close on this part of it before we go to May. I'm saying I don't share the view that we're out of the woods. I don't share the view that there is no urgency. There certainly is. As I said before, that four of our five stations are spending their reserves, that is, money they had on hand at the beginning of the year, in order to make ends meet in this fiscal. And I can go over the detail of that. At least one of our stations, and maybe two, are looking at potential layoff scenario. Other stations are looking at cash shortfalls. Now, it's not necessarily apparent because in October, when people go into drive, they feel, well, the drive monies will pay off some of the bills that didn't get paid in September. The problem with that is that you're using 1 year's fiscals to pay off bills from a prior fiscal. That's why we as a board have always insisted that each station have the 1 month that it's going to need to pay bills in October and not use the October drives to pay those bills. Also, next year, union raises for three of the stations will annualize. That is to say, some of the stations came to union increases in the middle of the fiscal, but next year they'll be annualized. That means more drain on cash and, of course, an increased budget. Revenues we know are flat for most stations. That is to say, not much appreciation in the number, amount of money that will be coming in from that route. And naturally, expenses go up. So flat revenue and a rising expense scenario is deadly in finance. Now, what does all that mean for us in the short and the long term? In the short term, it means that we have to find ways to recoup $400,000 or more in cash. That's a tall order, because it will surely impact not only WBAI, but the entire network, in my view. That's the short-term problem, and naturally, it is not any sort of permanent solution. What will be the permanent solution? Well, we are in a changing financial scenario, and as a network, we have to adopt and change how we do business in order to adapt to the new realities. In the past, we've seen increasing revenues from the listeners. That scenario is now over. It was driven by premiums, driven by the Iraqi war, and it was driven by new shows that were that people really were enthusiastic about. But as I've said many times, our listeners are older now, and we haven't replaced them with younger people. So we need three things in order to do real planning for the future. And it's scary to me, scary to any finance person, when you have flat revenues and increasing costs. It is not enough to simply do layoffs. It is not enough to move out and do short-term solutions. But what will be long-term solutions? There are two or three that pop to mind for me. One of them is we must look at the cost structure and the model we use for doing business. That is to say, some stations do fine with their model, others do not. They don't have to rethink the entire staffing structure, the vendor structure, the programming, the relationship with listeners. That's hard work. And at this point, I think it's absolutely clear that it has to be done. Now, it turns out that If we look at Arbitron, we see we're losing listeners.
Bonnie, I'm gonna interrupt a little. Can you get as quickly as possible?
I'm almost done.
The number part of where we are, the current budget status numbers.
It's in that report I just sent out to you.
Okay.
It says that, and I'll start just to give you a quick update. It says that this year, instead of having the 1.5 million, which is 1 month that we had hoped for in this network, we will be off by $640,000, most of that coming from WBAI shortfall. $640,000 is the amount of cash we will not have at year's end in order to pay the bills in October. That bottom line is we will miss our target by $640,000. So how much will we have? We'll have $900,000 rather than the $1.5 million that we wanted, $600,000 short. That's the first part. The second part is, as I have gone through with each GM and each business manager looking at how they'll make ends meet, remember, that $640,000 shortfall does not go away. It goes right into next fiscal because they have to pay bills at $640,000 from those October receipts. So, and looking at the budgets, almost all stations at this point in the budgeting process, and I have talked to every general manager, gone over every budget, and every business manager. That's all I did the last week and a half or 2 weeks. What you'll find in my report is that each station is now struggling with a deficit or shortfall, and I've identified what that number is for each station. Of course, they're working on it. Of course, they're trying to solve that problem. So, to finish, I don't share the view that we don't have a serious problem. We do. I think that we have to separate out the solution scenario into two parts, short-term and long-term, maybe a middle term, too. And I will carry this to the board. I do not believe it can be ignored for any reason. We must act. We must deal with what's before us. And I will have a special report that I will send to the full board so they understand the details of this. It's my job to make it clear where we really are at. And I will do that. Now, that would be the cheerful news that I bring to you, but it is nervous-making for me, so I will not let go of this until I feel comfortable that we've dealt with it in a prudent, rational way. That would finish my little mini-report that is in the email report that I have sent, and it's just a one-pager.
We got it. I just received it.
Yeah, so that's it. That would conclude this part of the report.
Can I just be clear? The number at the bottom of that page, you have summary projected versus budget projected, and you have a budget and a projected and a variance. Those numbers are the number of that's the amount of money that was supposed to be in the bank at the end of September 05. Those are
what that number is.
For those who didn't get this yet, I'm just going to quickly read what those numbers are, and then Jane, you had some questions. For PRA, it was budgeted at $40,000 and projected to be at $40,000, variance of zero. The national office was projected to be at $246 is projected. It was budgeted $268, projected $246, variance of $22,000. PFA budgeted $434,000. Projected $356,000, variance of $77,000. KPFK, $261,000, projected $253,000, variance of $8,000. KPFT, budgeted at $108,000, projected $128,000, a positive variance of $20,000. WBAI, budgeted for $300,000. Projected to be negative $255,000, a variance of $554,000. WPFW, $145,000 budgeted, $145,000 projected for a variance of zero. Jane, would you like to go?
Unfortunately, while we were waiting, my computer crashed and it will not come back, so I don't have any spreadsheets in front of me. My questions had to do with our oversight of the national office, and I wanted to know what the actual numbers were for projected expenses and income for June, because I was focusing in on the projected income from central services as of May was over budget. And so I thought that, perhaps that's in the information that was sent out, the mini report for June, showing the just the status of the national office expenses and income. But I can't look at the spreadsheets, so I'm going to defer to other people's questions.
Answer part of those questions.
Okay.
I have June, of course, in front of me.
Okay.
I did the preliminary. The general managers haven't seen it. They haven't reviewed it. Business managers haven't seen it and haven't reviewed it. So I usually have those folks to look at it first. But the national office I can't speak for. What it will show on central services is that we'll get $76,000 less in central service revenue coming course from WBAI than we had planned for in our budget. And it's not something that, will play out at the end of the fiscal. It's immediate in terms of they don't get $400,000 in month A, they don't send it along in month A, even though they might get it in month B and C. So that puts a huge budget shortfall, revenue shortfall in the national office budget. Now, on the other areas, people want to know where do we stand at the national office in terms of other indicators. Well, as I think I mentioned in my CFO report, we're in a very precarious position in the national office, in as much as not only do we have to deal with shortfalls on the revenue side, but the structure of Pacifica is such that we and getting central services from the stations, which everybody likes to talk about, that does not happen instantly. It happens over 2 or 3 months, sometimes 4 months. Meantime, as I said in my CFO report, we still have to pay the bills every month while waiting to get paid 3 and 4 months in arrears. Now, what have we done about that? How do you manage it? Suppose your salary came in over 4 months rather than every month. You have to find ways to keep your bills paid. What we have done, if you look at May and June, how we've managed it at the national office, is we've done fundraising to get what amounts to 4 months so some sort of reserve in order to pay the bills while waiting to get paid from the stations, who in turn are waiting to get paid from the listeners. It takes that long sometimes to bring in the cash, although half of it does come in month one for most stations with the credit cards. Now, so what you'll see when you look at the national office, you'll see that we've way overproduced in our budget revenue, and mainly by mail drops. The projection will be something like $320,000 to raise that predominantly mail drops. So that's how we try to create an extra month reserves against AI or against the slow pay sort of system that we have. Now, have we overspent in salaries? I know people want to know. Answer is yes, we have. And for in that area, let me give you some numbers I got right here. It's overspent about $100,000 in salaries on the gross salary line and $139,000 on the salaries and related. What was that about? Well, that's about adding salary increases for management staff that hadn't had a salary increase in 3.5 years. It's catching those folks up to some extent, not going back and paying people 3.5 years, but going and paying them, I think it was back to January of 2004, so that those folks who worked hard get some sort of real remuneration. Union people get salaries on a clockwork basis. Management people don't. The executive director at that time placed that before the board in the January 2005 board packet, showed the salaries of other management staff, identified what the proposed increases would be, sent them forth to the board, sent a separate email to the then president of the board, and then the president of the board signed off on the bonus and signed off on the bonus component of that, and then placed it before, I think we discussed it here, in finance as well, that this is something we're going to put in our forecast and as the ED intended to do. So that put us over budget. The feeling was that the revenue that had been raised would cover those expenses, and they did. That the revenue's up $320,000, salaries were up $100,000. I know that people feel that somehow or other that slipped through and no one knew about it. I disagree with that assessment. We're moving on to board components of the national budget. Did the board has a budget, which you all can see in the reports that we do. What about the board? Well, the board had a budget on board expense, which you can see, of $155,000 for the year. That's going to be for travel, conference calls, legal expenses connected with the board, training, some consultant money, FedEx, that sort of stuff. That budget is in every income statement, and you can have a look. Right now, my June projection and is that board overspent $82,000. That budget. What are the reasons? Well, complicated, but we had a fairly expensive board meeting in New York, overspent the budget by $20,000-$25,000. I have, in my projection, compensated for the proposed board meeting to take place in Houston, and thanks to Teresa in Houston and those folks and Wendy, I am told that those costs for that meeting, I can project a much reduced expense for that board meeting, and I have. Right now, I think I've just projected about $15,000 as a cost as opposed to the $30,000. If it comes in less than that, I am very happy about it. But right now, you know, I'll wait and see if they can get by on half of what that particular meeting was budgeted for. Moving along on the administrative side, I'm just going to go through it because I know that question. Underspent the administrative budget in the national office by $3,000. A programming budget, underspent the programming budget by $16,000. Development, projected to overspend the development budget, which is where all these mailings were, these mail drops, by $58,000, close to $60,000. And projected at the end of the fiscal to, instead of having a one-month reserve, which we had thought we would have, we are going to be short of that goal by $21,000. Well, why? Well, part of it is, I've already explained, but we did pick up an extra personnel that we hadn't planned or that we had to pick up for one reason or another. And we had.
Could you tell us specifically what that is?
Well, Otis McClay from Houston became a part of the national staff and on a contract for 6 months. So it's not permanent, so that added extra expense to our national budget, unanticipated. And I think that's one of the main ones.
Lonnie, was not the national program director budgeted to start in March? And the HR director projected to start in January in the budget. Oh. That's what we were told during the budget discussions of last year.
Well, we've gone over this in finance days several times. I will do it again. The HR person indeed was budgeted for, but you recall that last year from the initial budget discussions that as we move through the budget cycle, we operate as all the stations do, with the proviso that there has to be 1 month operating.
I understand. So you changed that because there wasn't money to get through the budget given the projections with that in there.
You couldn't take
that 1 month, so that was changed from
the budget. I had to keep postponing
the budgeted amount for the total year included those two positions, one starting in January and the other starting in March.
Yeah, I remember the program, the national program director, the board specifically prohibited that hire. You recall that.
Right, so that wasn't in there. But again, the budget number, the projection, it didn't.
No, I'm not sure if it was even in there because I think that discussion occurred early. So I'll check. I'm not sure, but certainly the HR person. I had him first, you know, in January, and then we put him back to March, and you know.
Okay.
So as we try, because the reason that 1 month is so important, people keep asking me, why are you so?
Lonnie, you've told us that before.
All right.
Billy,
you know,
I want to go through the time.
Marty would like to ask a question at some point. If I could go.
Okay. I'd like to go to the question that I had specifically, and then Marnie. If you look at the Free Speech Radio news in May, there is an amount budgeted for each of the stations. And their variances on the projection for annual are quite different. So KPFK's variance for Free Speech Radio news is projected as $40,000 in the negative by the end of the year, whereas KPFT's variance is $57,000 in the positive. K and I are at zero. WPFW is $5,000 in the positive, which means basically the KPFD saved $57,000 on Free Speech Radio news on your projections,
And
I'm looking at K for June.
And KPFA had a variance. This is May. The May numbers had a variance. They apparently were going to spend $38,000 more than budgeted, or $39,000. I was wondering why that is.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If Lonnie needs to look while he's looking, I think I could perhaps take a stab because it's something I did look into with the national office.
Right.
It has to do that we got more CPB, CFG money, and apparently there's a formula that is related for what we have to pay for Free Speech Radio News to what we get in CPB, CFG. And so I did a pretty detailed analysis because the business manager and I and Roy were really scratching our heads. And so I do believe that that's what it's about. And when we looked at it, it did all look fair and accurate. I hate to quote a number, but I feel like 25% of something is what A is supposed to do. And when we compared that to the budget, it was the same percentage.
So what you're saying is that your community service grant was larger than expected?
Yes, yes. And that had to do with that we ended up being certified as a minority station. Apparently there's like three or four different levels, and we got another notch on our belt, so to speak, and that got us more revenue from that source, but therefore it also increased our obligation on FSRN.
And what about KPFT spending $57,000 less than expected?
I'll let someone that knows T, but
yeah,
I'm going to
guess. Yeah, that was a missed budget. Which
there we go.
And I'm looking at K, though, for May. And K has $407,000 budgeted.
No. For K's, at least according to May numbers, the annual budget was $102,000. 440 was the total, is the consolidated amount, the whole network.
Yeah, I'm looking at K right now. Radio News. The annual budget was $102,000.
Right.
Projected annual is $102,000, no variation.
Right. T is the one I was looking
at. Oh, well, so T is the other one. Was this budget? Let me just check.
It was budgeted at $79,000, and you had the projection being $21,000.
Yeah, that's where it is right there. I see it. Not there, but that was a its projection. Let me see if I caught it in June.
If I could interject, one needs to look at the revenue, and I'm scrolling like crazy, but I haven't found the T revenue. If the T revenue is down in that CSG category, then that explains why the FSRN is down.
It went down.
Yeah, if it's down by a factor of four, then that's.
It was too high. That T's total revenue should have been 79, or in this case, it went up to 86,000. 25% of that is 21,000. So they misbudgeted there.
So that's an error in the budgeting process.
That's right. They put the entire amount there instead of 25%.
Okay.
If I could just interject, I'm sorry. I don't know that it was an error in budgeting. I mean, none of us have a crystal ball, and I chose to think that at the time the budgets were being done, people truly believed that that was what the levels would be.
Marnie, he just said it should have been one quarter of that because it's just a calculation error.
This case is different. If you look at what they had down in the Free Speech Radio budget, they have the full amount as opposed to 25% of the amount.
Right.
So therefore, yeah, but the real amount should be 21,000.
So in the budget, that should have been 21, and just the wrong number was entered into that cell.
Correct.
And so that was carried through their whole budget process in terms of money they needed to raise. So is that difference of $50,000 one of the things that was corrected and is what got KPFT from thinking that they were well off track to being on track for the year?
Yeah, that's part
that
of it, not all of it. Because the budget does not affect actual income and actual expense.
Okay.
It affects the variance, but not necessarily.
Okay, got it. The other questions were how were the mailing expense services and subscriptions for the national office were projected at zero, and they're now budgeted at zero and projected for $127,000. I realize that they're generating income, but I was wondering how that expenditure got authorized.
Excuse me, I'm very sorry. It's Roy Campanella, but I have to leave. I've got a location that I have to get to.
Thanks for being on, Roy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, you're asking a question. Why did mailing and subscriptions go up, and who authorized? Right?
What was the authorization project to go $105,000 over on that line item, which was budgeted at zero?
Yes. In the in terms of budget process, the question, as I recall, came up for IED was, you're going to be short, I don't know, $300,000 in terms of the money we need to actually compensate for stations which may have shortfalls or revenue. So the idea was to do a mail drop, and in doing so, you incur the cost.
I understand, and you guys generated 460 so on that, so at least according to the numbers, so it wasn't the money either. I'm just wondering, in our budget, what are the policies that govern expenditures by the executives if they're well outside of the budgeting process?
Well, that's the variance reports that are done. You'll find the same thing in June. They started out as you in terms of looking at variances and saying, why is this variance here? That's when the explanation is given about how we plan to raise money to cover our shortfall and to come up with a 1 month. It's all part of a plan. So is, you know, do we need to have a pre-authorization process or change of plans and revenue generation to avoid a shortfall? Well, possibly. But the way that I think about it is that every manager has to, during the year, make adjustments such that they their budget align with a one-month proviso. That gives them the, and that assumes that they'll have the flexibility to make reasonable changes in line items to maintain that goal. Now, we did talk a lot about how that would go and 10% of each line, and I think that gets, in some respects, overly complicated. The goal is to bring that budget in on time through reasonable means. That doesn't mean you come up with funny numbers or anything like that, but it's real and it's doable, practical.
Well, the problem is that if a manager is able to essentially put $100,000 in a line item that was passed by the board at zero, and if that number, the desire to get to that number by the end of the year, overrides the budget authorization process, then the budget authorization process really doesn't mean much in terms of the board's ability to have a say in the way money gets spent in the network. And this goes to one of my concerns about the idea of establishing a credit line when we don't apparently have a functioning authorization process for when somebody goes vastly over a budget line if the goal is, well, we needed to get to this point. And so that's one of my concerns. Oh. I have some questions about the WBAI. Hang on, I'll kick it back to you as soon as I finish.
Sure.
I have some questions about the WBAI administrative costs and other such things. They're saving in some places and raising in others, but I've spoken enough, so I want to turn it over to Marnie after you respond to what I just said.
Oh, yeah. If you look at this variance report, you will find a in K as well as every other station, overspending on those lines with no authorization. No need to point to the national office in this regard. It is a network-wide issue. And if you look, you'll see, mostly in salary, overspent by $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 in most of the stations, including K. What to do about it? Oh, this finance committee is the work of establishing guidelines that are reasonable. And I think that that's always, must have spent every board meeting talking about increasing salary costs and warning that we need to watch that. Now, we need to take that as a goal for us. I think it's reasonable. How can you control those costs, especially in the context we're talking about? where those salary costs are increasing. So I think we ought to take it up. We ought to have it as an agenda item, establish some guidelines, establish what the budget monitoring process is going to be. I have said it before. I have a real serious interest in having a budget monitoring process that works for everybody.
Right. Great. Thank you. Marnie?
Hi. I just wanted to get back to the discussion about the salaries that Jane picked up that thread, the national office. Were the bonuses and the salary increases after not having had salary increases for 3 years, were those budgeted, Lonnie?
It is, No, I mean, the bonuses, usually, I look back to see, and I was looking at the bonus situation. I said, well, how often is this? How often does it happen? It apparently, in lieu of salary increases over at least the last 4 or 5 years, what had been practiced was the ED would recommend bonuses, whatever, on a dollars available basis, you know, 1%. Usually they're between 1% and 1.5%, because cash was always short. And so the practice had been that bonuses were given to management staff when there was cash available. That's been the practice. And in this case, the ED sent an email to, I think Marty Durlin was the ED at that time.
Chair.
I'm sorry, chair at that time.
Thanks.
And apprised her of that, and she signed off on it as being reasonable to do that. And
Marnie's question was that budgeted? In other words,
No. Generally, it's not budgeted because it's...
Okay, that's what I just...
Yeah, it's not budgeted because people don't know if the money's going to be...
Right. I think it's fair for all of us to understand that the bonuses weren't budgeted. And how about these raises that went down? Were those budgeted?
Marnie, you're breaking up. Can you speak... are you on the cell phone?
No, I'm on a landline.
That's much better. Can
okay,
you repeat
great.
Your question, please?
Just want us all to understand that the bonuses weren't budgeted. And then I don't believe the raises were budgeted either, so I'd just like to discuss that and just have it out on the table and understood.
Yes. No, they were not budgeted. But you recall that during that period, this management staff, including the general managers, finance staff, national staff, had retired $3.4 million in debt to this network, brought it out from debt, working hard, local staff people, fundraising, had not had a raise in 3.5 years. The board did not seem interested at all, fairly with those folks. The ED took the initiative. This isn't a fair situation. And wrote to the board, sent the board 15 pages of salary comparisons with other community radio stations, told the board his intent to rectify that situation, and I think did the same thing here in the finance committee. So it was not a secret raise, and it is a that Pacifica will face, which is how deal fairly with its employees on maintaining financial solvency. It's tough.
Hey, can you put me on the...
Marnie, did that answer your question?
Lon, I think just to acknowledge that, hey, look, I don't begrudge whatever pay people are getting. They're not paid enough. I just wanted us all to understand that they weren't budgeted. And from there, my next quick question was, has the HR person been hired now? I think I listened to an archive where Ambrose was saying that he was going to have...
Just signed the letter today.
Oh, congratulations.
That's wonderful news. Teresa, anything? By the way, I heard you, and I'll get to you after Marnie's done.
Okay. Any name that can be told us or anything yet or not yet?
Well, we'll let you know. We're going to send the information out to the whole board.
All right. Okay. Don't forget us treasurers. We kind of get left out of the loop here.
Oh, you won't be left out.
All right. And so then, so the HR person is now included in the forecast.
Will be.
Yeah, I am. And that I also looking
but when
at
you talk the June forecast, is the HR person in there?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then is there any severance or severance-related money that's been added into the forecast for the balance of the year that isn't part of the budget?
Well, you've got Oh, you mean, are you talking, oh, I won't mention any names.
No, you don't have to, and if we need to do executive or whatever, that's fine, but it's a question I have.
Is it in the forecast?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes it is.
All right, and then I think many of us would want to know, well, will you privately please advise us of that, you know, in the proper time, proper forum?
Yes, I will.
Okay, great. That's it for me. Thank you.
Okay, next I have Teresa, Patty, and I'm going to put myself back on to finish up on my add-ins.
And Dave, can you put me on?
Sure. Why don't you go before me? That's Casey. Go ahead, Teresa.
Hi. I'm not trying to make any accusations. Somehow, I was on the finance committee before. Somehow I don't remember the GM, I mean, not the GM, the ED saying to the board, you know, listen, we really need to go into executive session because there are some people that are really deserving of pay raises, and I want to talk about this. I don't remember that. But maybe I was just, you know, scatterbrained. How many people received pay raises approximately?
Well, you had all the general managers, the finance staff.
Is that the national finance staff?
National
money?
Yes. Not the business manager, except for one person who hadn't had a raise in 15 years.
And archives?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
anybody
she hadn't
else?
Had a raise in 15 years. That's just...
Anybody terrible. Else?
The one GM did not receive a raise.
Okay.
Because they had already gotten one from the LSB.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not finished. I have two other quick questions. Did I hear you say that pay raises were retroactive sometime in 2004?
Yeah, I think instead of trying to do a retroactive raise for 3.5 years, which was just financially impossible, the decision was made to make it retroactive, I think.
For how many months?
6 months or so.
Okay. Well, I have one other question. So people got pay raises who had not, you said people hadn't received pay raises in 3.5 years, but weren't there some people that got pay raises that hadn't worked for the foundation for 3.5 years? And weren't there some people that got pay raises that had not even been reviewed in several years?
All the people that did receive raises were reviewed, yes.
Okay. Reviewed by?
ED.
By the ED.
So they would have a review in their file that said that they were doing a good job and deserving of a pay raise.
Yeah, we're talking here mostly, pay raises is a little misleading. You're just talking about cost of living.
Okay.
Ireland. And a pay raise is above that normally. So no one got a pay raise. They got a cost of living in the union parlance. The intent here was that to try to have some equity between union employees who were routinely getting their pay raises and cost of living. My management staff had gotten nothing. That didn't seem equitable. ED tried to fix it.
Okay, well, I wasn't being accusatory. I just don't remember being told that, and pardon me if I was, like, you know, just inconsiderate, but to me it sounds like actually if you're calling it pay raises, then there could have been some discretion to, you know, on the issue of merit. But that's all. I just wanted to know. Thank you very much.